This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
The moral of the story, not that story, but the Raiders story is, I think you should trade Max Crosby before the draft. That kind of stuff usually happens like draft day, right? Like that's,
it feels leading like into that's the you draft. Do. Yeah,
you get the big because it'll be maybe draft day because you're not trying to
you
trade
don't give
for
them
the
away,
number one
though.
Pick.
Yeah, you don't give you them away. That. You've got to get a haul for him, though. Like, it has to be something that you feel like puts you on a trajectory to be better, like, right away. Mm-hmm. I'm saying being, I'm not talking about, you know, be what the football team is, but you have to be noticeably better to where you hit the next offseason like, no, we got something. We know exactly what we need to do. It's what the Texans did. Yeah. We know exactly what we need to do. We need to go, it didn't work out, but we need to go get due to Torres ACL,
Stephon did.
Yeah, need to go get him. Need to add some weapons around CJ. Like, that's what we got to do. Raiders have to have that same. They have to get a haul that can put them in a position to have that same revelation the following year.
I agree.
For a player like Max Crosby, at least. Yeah,
I agree.
Speaking of the Raiders, the division goes to a very regular winner, the Chiefs, who just continue their absolutely bizarre season. The worst field goal, game-winning field goal attempt in history. Clanks off the upright, goes through, Chiefs win the AFC West, and everybody keeps it moving. I feel like 19-17 has been the final score of like seven Chiefs games this year.
Right. This is all leading towards them losing in the playoffs, and everybody said, well, the signs were already there. Like, we saw them, they struggled throughout the year. I think that is more likely than them winning the Super Bowl.
Okay. Their last 2 weeks, it was 19-17.
That's crazy. That's got
to
be.
They have a 16-14 in here, a 17-10. That's amazing. And back-to-back 19-17 victories against divisional opponents. Cleveland up next, Houston after that, Pittsburgh in week 17, and then they close out at Denver.
Pittsburgh, who won as well, because I'm trying to think and see if there's any implications for that Pittsburgh game. I guess Pittsburgh may be, they may be trying to stay ahead of Buffalo. Buffalo, that's a bad loss for them.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
They got to go to Detroit next week. And that's, you know, that may be a little bit of a problem, but Buffalo's kind of already out for the one seed. I'm assuming the Chiefs will.
Buffalo still with two games left against the Patriots, and that's the Jets are sandwiched in the middle of that.
That's three
so games. It's Detroit, and then New England, New York, New England.
Yeah, it's three wins for sure. So I was trying to see. I guess Pittsburgh would need them to lose before then, or you just keep the pressure on them. But Kansas City kind of wrapped up the one seed, in my opinion, last night with that win. Not only the AFC West, but the one overall one seed.
The Buffalo loss, that loss to the Rams. That's a big deal. Mm-hmm. That was a big deal. It's tough for them.
Yeah.
Tough. You mentioned the Steelers kept going. The Bills, so there you have it. There's your look around the NFL, because there really wasn't much else happening.
NFL. The big game was on Thursday. You know, Lions, Packers. You combine that with a lot of, I think, about four playoff teams who had buys, or potential playoff teams had buys.
Yep, Ravens, Broncos, Texans, Commanders, all off this week, as were the Colts and the Patriots.
Last bye weeks of the year, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. So, next week, you know, we'll have some better matchups. But like you said, some important matchups were happening this week. Seattle and Arizona. You know, Seattle taking care of business against the Cardinals the way they did. I think kind of putting the Cardinals away. It's interesting to say that and still talk about a pathway for the 49ers, although I don't believe the 49ers are going to make the playoffs. So I can honestly, objectively say I feel the same way about the Cardinals.
Yeah, the Cardinals, that game, I felt like the Cardinals had an opportunity to, like, kind of get themselves back into it. They just kept... Kyler was just throwing the ball all over the place. He looked like Baker out there. Just throwing the ball all over the place, and they never could. But that's an 8-5 Seattle team now and a 6-7 Cardinals team.
Do you know the one team in the NFL that has a 0-point differential?
I don't.
Want to take a guess?
I can't tell if it's a team that's bad or a team you hate. I know you don't like the Seahawks. That's who we were just talking about. I don't think it's the Rams. I'm going to go Seahawks.
The 49ers. 0-point differential.
Well, it was definitely not a team that you hate. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? 0-point differential. The only team in the league. The Saints are -2. I guess that might be the...
Well, that's because they scored 90 points in the first 2 weeks of the season.
That's right. The Bengals...
Anybody remember that? They scored like 90 points.
Crazy.
They look like the Kings the last two games.
Right. Hopefully they don't have the same fate. The Kings don't have the same fate as the Saints. Bengals are -5. And then everybody else is like 20s, 30s, 100s, all this other stuff. But it doesn't mean anything. It's just interesting to see like all these green and reds and then a gray. Zero for the 49ers, who are perfectly even 308-308.
That's got to be one of their bigger wins of the point differential wise. It's got to be one of their bigger wins of the year, right?
Yeah, Bears, Patriots. I think those are, and the Jets.
Oh, yeah, they beat the crap out of the Jets, yeah. 30, that was 32-19. Patriots was 30-13. Yeah, and 38-13.
Everything else has been tight, except for when they lose. They lost to the Bills.
They got their ass whooped by the Bills, the Packers.
Packers got them. Even the Chiefs kind of, the Chiefs, even that game, the Chiefs were up 2 going into the fourth quarter. A relatively close game. So, that was an important win, though, for Seattle to beat Arizona the way they did. And then an important win for the Rams to get that one against Buffalo, especially when you have a Niners team on a short week going to San Francisco around the corner. Getting that win against Buffalo might have saved their season.
The Rams one day look like Super Bowl contenders, and the next, they look like the Arizona Cardinals. Makes no sense. Like yesterday, Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Puka, which tearing it up. Couldn't stop him at all.
All he has to do is turn around and catch the ball.
Oh. Yeah, can you do that, Casey? Could you make that catch yesterday?
I couldn't make that catch on the sideline. I know that. That was crazy, that catch on the sideline. Sheesh. No, they're cooking, though. They're cooking. But I understand what you're saying. I mean, the Dolphins loss, I mean, that was it's just a bad loss. You had them at home on a Monday night, and you only put up 15 points in that game. And, you know, and then you turn around and you put up 44 on the Bills a couple weeks later.
We're going to venture off to the college football playoffs here in just a couple of minutes, and then, of course, get back to the Sacramento Kings, because I'm just genuinely curious how people are feeling after the last two games about the Sacramento Kings, and maybe how they're feeling after the last four. Plus, James Hamm at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. But Juan Soto.
Oh.
Juan Soto signs, I guess, the new richest deal in the history of sports.
Man, oh man.
$756 million over 15 years.
Woo.
No deferred money, no Shohei Ohtani stuff here with the New York Mets.
That's a real contract right there.
And this is starting to feel like NIL money. Like, where is this stuff coming from?
Steve Cohen, their owner. I think I can't remember what company he owns, but he's got more money than all those guys,
yeah,
I think.
The Mets, they got bread.
Yeah, I saw some reports. Like, if it was willing to go to eight, Steve Cohen was going to go to eight.
Mm.
Overpaid, question mark?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. But you had to have him. You had to have him.
Like, if he tears it up for the next 6-7 years, that's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Oof. And Soto, surprisingly.
Man, can you imagine buying a car that you have to pay for 15 years and going, as long as it works for the next 6 or 7, I'm fine.
If in that 6 or 7, he brings you a world championship.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all worth it.
Yeah, I guess
so. It's all worth it.
What does that tell you about how the MLB, I guess, Shohei got what, 680, I think?
No, he was in the 700s, wasn't he? Wasn't Shohei in the 700s?
Off the top of my head.
Maybe the 680 is what's being deferred.
Okay, that sounds right.
Because this feels like Soto topped Shohei by a decent amount.
Shohei was 10. Well, I don't think he. I don't know that he topped him at all. He was 10 years, 70 million. Mm. My man is 15 years, 756.
Annual averages and stuff. Yeah. Because I'm thinking of the whole number rather than the annual average.
Yeah, the whole number is 5 more years, though. Average annual value is $70 million for Shohei. Where is, oh boy, Juan Soto?
My guess would be about 60-something, maybe 50s.
Because I'm just thinking, the way like we talk about Shohei and all that, still the fact that Juan Soto is still able to be the highest paid player.
And Juan Soto, even though he 51 million a year is what my math says for Soto. He's a fantastic player. Like, he's one of those guys that takes the game into the next generation. But you know,
what'd you say that number was again?
51 million.
51.
So I don't think he's like. It doesn't feel like he should be making, like you said, more than Ohtani.
So
his contract being more than Ohtani.
So taking the average annual value to that $51 million and doing it by 12 years instead of 15. Mm. The previous record before Shohei Ohtani's contract was Mike Trout, who was 12 years, $426 million. If Juan Soto's deal was 12 years instead of 15, it'd still be $612 million. Mm. They just burned a couple $100 million past what the previous high was. Mm. With the quarterback contracts, you see them.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Without fail, escalate by a million to like a million and a half. Rarely do they hit 2 million in their increases. They just blew past the total contract value by $200 million.
But Trout was what, 4 or 5 years ago? Maybe 5, 6
Trout was, I don't have the year in front of me when he signed that contract.
I think it was about 5 years ago. And you combine
$200 million over 5 years. There's a 5-year change to it. I know there's inflation, but God damn it.
What did Judge?
What are we witnessing, Aaron Judge? I have sports contracts, not necessarily baseball contracts.
In a shorter amount of time, didn't he get like 7 years, $500 or $400 million or something like that?
That might be right. We'll look at this some more. We'll come back with our thoughts on the college football playoff, and we'll get back to the Sacramento Kings as well. Stealing with Casey on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. BBQ oysters in the backyard. I wouldn't. How do you even do that?
Throw them on the grill.
The oyster?
Yeah, throw the oyster, like the bottom of the shell just heats up, and that's how it heats the oyster.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's crazy, too. And is the oyster alive? Like,
no, it's dead. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm pretty sure it's dead.
Okay.
I don't know what a live oyster looks like.
Never had them before.
Yeah, I don't. Okay. I'm curious.
Not judging.
No, I might have. Who did you say was on the phone?
Mitch from New Jersey.
Mitchell. What's up, man? Mitchell. Hello, Mitchell.
Mitch, you there, big dog?
Mitch, it's the radio show you called.
He's talking to someone again.
No, I think he just put the phone down.
Must be at some store or something.
Hey, Mitch, we're here. Would you like to speak with us? He just assumed. No, okay. I wonder what Mitch talks about when he's not talking to us.
I'm going
to
keep him on the line until he's done with his errand. Mitch, do you have us?
Okay.
I think that's the grandson.
I'll check back with him in a couple minutes.
Maybe Mitch went to get some water or something.
Maybe. They thought we were in commercial break when he called, so he might still think we're on commercial break.
Who knows?
Yeah. Okay. You know something else that happened this weekend?
Yeah.
I saw Moana 2.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good movie. Really, really good movie. It's not as good as the first one.
Okay.
Like, the first one is... Nah, I'll give it a 9.5.
Okay.
This is maybe an 8.5.
Okay.
Good movie. I enjoyed it, but they set it up. There is a 3 on the way.
Okay.
Yeah, they did a whole thing. If you stick around, you see 3 is definitely on the way.
Okay.
But good movie.
Okay.
Good movie. Enjoyed it.
I just got to accept I'm probably never going to see him.
Well,
because I want to see Wicked first, and I know I'm not going to go see Wicked, and that means I'm not going to see Moana. That means I just have to wait for it to update on Disney Plus, and then I'll watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Wow. Okay. There's no question.
Who did that?
No question. Who's in charge of the?
Sorry.
Why do you hate Moana?
It's just going back. Sorry.
You no. You watched it and you hated it. Why? Like Moana is a fantastic.
I just didn't
movie.
Like it. It's not even like a horrible film. I just didn't like it when I saw it.
It's a great movie.
That's it.
It is a
and
very
Moana 2. They did a good job with it.
Okay.
Did a really.
Mitch
good
is
job.
Back, by the way.
Oh.
Okay. Mitchell.
I apologize, guys.
What was happening?
I got more bosses at home than I do at work. You know, I have less bosses when I was working, you know?
I understand.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have retired.
That's okay.
And I got two cars on a plank, and somebody on the chat room wants me to say, Juju Schuster, or Slim Smith Schuster. I knew it screwed up.
That's
He's
good.
He's happy now. All right?
That's your boy. That's a USC boy.
That's right. All these guys. Now he in like, two wide receivers from USC have entered free agency. Oh, excuse me, the portal. You know, there's more movement in college ball than football. It's incredible.
It is incredible.
USC cannot even get their own plays in their own backyard. Maybe I should come over and do some recruiting.
Well, I think that would help, Mitch.
What's with the Dodgers signing these guys over 30? I mean, come on, Snell. He hasn't even won 100 games in his career. He's what, 35 years old? And then they go sign Conforto. He stinks.
Yeah.
Well, Conforto. $17 million? I hope that's pesos. And then they're being cheap, but not going after Soto. I mean, come on, cheapskates. Come on.
Man, you guys just won the World Series.
I want some homegrown talent. I'm tired of these.
I don't know that buying Juan Soto would be homegrown talent.
Hmm. I'll write you a 5-page paper how I come to that conclusion, okay?
Okay. That's a good idea, Mitch. I'll just sit here and shut the hell up then. What do I know? I'll just sit here and be quiet.
Shut up, Mitch. That was good stuff today. That better be pesos as a top-tier Mitch line, too.
That better be pesos.
Can you imagine telling your people not to let that man on the air?
It's multiple stations that do it, too.
Oh, it's crazy.
Oh, that better be pesos.
Radio is never that serious to where, like, Mitch cannot come on talk.
Mitch always has a home here on ESPN 1320.
That's facts.
Always.
And I want that 5-page paper, Mitch.
And Mitch said, I guess I'll... I guess I'll write you a 5-page paper.
Whatever, jackass.
Oh, man. I didn't even get a chance to ask Mitch if he was going to go to Allegiant Stadium to see USC take on Texas A&M in the SRS Distribution Las Vegas Bowl.
You made that up.
No.
It feels like money laundering.
SRS Distribution?
Yep. Las Vegas Bowl.
What does SRS Distribution do?
I don't know. Let's find out real quick. SRS Distribution. Well, they just come up with the bowl. Roofing materials and building supplies.
Roofing material and building supply company can sponsor a bowl now, huh?
Well,
I wonder how.
Shout out to the Wasabi Fenway Bowl.
All right, now we've gone too far.
I love me wasabi around the corner from my house.
Do we still have the Little Caesars Bowl?
Let's see. I think so. I believe we do. I don't know why they would give that up, although I don't see it yet.
Do we want to talk about the college football playoffs, or do we want to?
Nobody's playing in that the Little Caesars Bowl that got selected yesterday. I thought they did a good job. I was surprised they didn't put Alabama in, although. Mm. You almost had to put SMU in, because if you didn't...
Because of the way the game went?
Or no, what? Because if it didn't, it would ruin everything. You can't have a team like SMU, who is going to be in the playoff the week before a championship week game, lose in the championship game and not make it.
Which is what they said. They said, we don't want to punish teams who make the conference championship and lose.
Yeah, you can't do that. Because then at that point, you would
You're better off not making it.
Yeah, people would just kind of throw the last. Like, it, SMU, I think, were locked into the ACC championship game the week before the last week of the regular season. And they end up playing and winning and all that other stuff. If that, you know, was the case, we don't even need to go to the championship game.
Right.
Which is a big weekend for college football. You know, they're still trying to make that a big weekend. So you just couldn't do it. I also think Alabama, being a three-loss team that lost to Vanderbilt, that lost to Oklahoma, they didn't deserve to be in. They didn't deserve to be in. Now, did you watch the little selection show thing?
I didn't. It was on, but I can't say I was super intrigued by it.
Nick Saban came out. He came out guns a-blazing.
So I did see that.
And he's got a good point. He basically came out saying, we've got to stop acting like all wins are equal.
Mm-hmm.
And his point was right. Like, I think the committee had gotten to the point where they had gone so far with SMU, with Boise State, that you couldn't go back this year. But his thing is kind of like, hey, moving forward, we can't act like Boise State is playing the same schedule as Alabama and rank them the same way. Like, Boise State, and to a certain degree SMU, they had been ranked so high at that point that even if Boise State would have lost to UNLV, they still would have made it because they were 4 or something like that. Like, they're not going to go from 4 to 22 after a loss. And his thing was, we can't act like the wins are the same, the schedules are the same, and essentially stop ranking these guys this high when they don't play the same competition.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I agree. I understand it, though. I do understand that Miami and Alabama, if they played a Mountain West schedule, would probably be undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it.
Yeah, it sounds like some of the same, or it felt like some of the same conversations that were had for the BCS and then again for the 4-team college football playoff are happening now with the 12-team college football playoff. Like, you're always going to be able to have the same conversations about who deserves to be in, because there'll always be a team that has a certain amount of losses that played a more difficult schedule, that's in a bigger conference or a tougher conference or whatever. And conference championship games have always been a question mark into how this stuff is determined. There was a year, I think it's when, I can't remember if it's when Ohio State played Florida. I can't remember if it's when Ohio State got their ass kicked by Florida or when they got their ass kicked by LSU. But
one of those times,
Ohio State and Michigan had a classic. And they were 1-2. And the game ended and it's like, run it all the way back. That's the national title game. This is BCS era. That's the national title game right there. Run it back.
Wasn't that the year? No, you're right. I think they lost in the national, because the year
Ohio State definitely lost in the national championship game that year. I think it was LSU, but I can't remember which one of the two it was.
Yeah.
It was a national championship game that they got their ass kicked in.
Yeah, I remember that because I remember that game. It was a good game at Ohio State, 1-2.
Epic.
3 points.
One of the greatest football games I've ever seen. Epic. And I was just like, run it back. It's 1-2. Just run it back.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't do it.
Yeah. And see, the thing about it that I like with this college football playoff is, you're right, it's some of the same arguments, but I think it's a little bit more definitive this year because in the past, if Alabama had one loss or even two losses and Boise State went undefeated, they'd be like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing? But now, Alabama, Miami, like, you can't go losing 3 games. Like, if you would have lost 2 games, you probably get in. But you can't go losing 3 games and get into there's more of an onus to look back on the team that didn't make it and be like, hey, you just didn't really take care of business. You know, Boise State, SMU, they get in part because you didn't handle your business multiple times.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit more reasonable. The thing that you mentioned that you're looks to be 100% right about, that they need to change, is they need to stop with like the way they rank them and then seed them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, the Ohio State is ranked sixth or something like that, or ranked second, but they're seeded sixth or something like that. Like, just have it be what it was. And one of the reasons why they did that is because the said something about, like, the conference champions, you know, get the byes.
Right.
And they might have to do away with that, especially when you look at what happened to the poor one seed, Oregon. They might have the toughest draw of everybody.
Yeah, they'll face the winner of Tennessee and Ohio State, which is arguably, or perhaps inarguably, the marquee game of the, I guess, first round. Is that what you call it? Like, the marquee game of the first round.
Yeah.
And that, Oregon has to face that winner.
Right. That's not fair, especially when you look at Georgia at the two seed taking on Notre Dame or Indiana, or Boise at the three seed taking on SMU or Penn State. And part of that happened because of the whole seeding thing, and they don't reseed after the first round. But, yeah, they're going to have to change some things with that next year. I think in all, it's going to be phenomenal. I cannot wait.
Who reseeds? The NFL does.
NHL.
Oh, NHL does. Yeah.
I cannot wait for round one. It's going to be epic. When you talk about the round one and where these games are going to be played, they're going to be played at Texas.
Yep.
They're going to be played at Ohio State,
yep,
at Penn State,
yep,
and at Notre Dame. Come on, man. That's going to be a joy to watch. The second round is going to be great as well.
Indiana and Notre Dame on ABC.
Yeah, first time since 1990, a home
Notre Dame. That's actually kind of crazy.
That is, that a home Notre Dame game is not on NBC. So, yeah, I'm all in on these playoffs. I have been for a long time. I'm learning. I bookmarked this too. Check out.
It only took 4 years.
I think it's the 21st was the day, I believe. There it is. There are going to be five games on December 21st played between college football and NFL Saturday. 9 o'clock, SMU at Penn State. 1 o'clock, these are all Eastern times. 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. out here. Texans at Chiefs. 1 p.m. here. Clemson at Texas. 30, Steelers at Ravens. And then the nightcap at 5, Tennessee at Ohio State.
I think those are our times. I think those are Pacific times, no?
No, they're all Eastern. So we start at 9 a.m. 9 a.m. SMU at Penn State. 10 a.m. Texans at Chiefs. 1 p.m. Clemson at Texas. 1:30 Steelers at Ravens. And then 5 o'clock Tennessee at Ohio State.
Okay.
8 o'clock would not be a.
In the second.
8 o'clock Pacific would not be a game that happens in Ohio.
But you didn't say 8 o'clock Pacific. You said 5.
Yeah, because it's starting at 5 o'clock. On here, as I'm looking at this, it says 8 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Because I'm looking at the times. I'm like, no, it's 5 o'clock our time.
Right. 5 o'clock us. Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, all of the second round matchups will be on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
In the Rose Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl. And
I think the Arizona State game is New Year's Eve, and then the other three are New Year's Day.
Boise State.
Boise State's New Year's.
The Fiesta Bowl. Okay. Yeah, the Fiesta Bowl is New Year's Eve. And that will be the winner of Penn State and SMU, as you pointed out a second ago. They'll take on Boise State. And then it'll be the winner of Indiana and Notre Dame taking on Georgia, the winner of Tennessee and Ohio State taking on Oregon, as we just said, and Clemson and Texas. The winner of that will take on Arizona State.
And can we get some air horns for our guy, Real Linda's finest, Cam Scatable? What a performance. In the Big 12 championship game, he lost his mind. That comes a couple weeks after you want to talk about getting that stamp of approval. Nick Saban came out on game day and said, this is my favorite player in the country. Yep. And, yeah, he's turned into a star. Arizona State, shout out Jay Gayden, you know what I mean, and everybody out there. They're going to be playing on New Year's Day with a first-round bye, man. So shout out to Arizona State. Shout out to Ramsey.
He, well, can't say it. Well, great. He probably just got fired. Man.
Yeah, man. So that's dope. Man, Cam Scatter, that is
awesome.
We
had all sorts of people that work across the street come see us on Friday.
They pulled up, man.
Salute.
Pulled up on us. Yeah, I mean. But, man, a kid from Rio Linda who really didn't get recruited at all, ended up going to Sac State. killed there.
No.
And it was like, hey, you know, can you do this on that level? And he does in a major way. And now he's, like I said, one of the biggest stars in the sport right now.
Yeah, shout out to our guy Andy Thompson too, who he was always good to talk to. Tough, he didn't make it through this little stretch that Sac State is going through. They obviously have some big things ahead, and they've started their coaching search. I don't know where that's going to go. But Andy was always a good dude. He was good with us. And always hate to see a good guy lose their job.
Absolutely, man. I hate to see that. Like you said, man, he was always good to us. Good conversations, always showing us love. One of the things I can't say, and I'm not even saying it's all his fault. It just is what it is. Like, they're trying to do some things at Sac State, and they can't have a season like they just had. To, you know, kind of boost that profile. He landed on his feet, though. He's going with Coach Taylor at Stanford, man.
Yeah.
So they'll reconnect.
Might have gotten a pay raise, too.
Maybe
like
so.
Just knowing the dynamics of college, he might have gotten a significant pay raise.
And look, the dollar still, cash still, you know, the check still cashes the same way, but might be playing in front of less people.
Well,
that's embarrassing. Some of the three different occasions what I saw at Stanford Stadium this year is just, it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. Like, there's many people in this office than there was at these Stanford games.
Boy, y'all have no idea what that's saying. I mean, there's two Aarons and Andy in a complex. Outside of that, there's the three of us. There might be like a Pamela Spain Love team over there.
I didn't even see Sylvia
and
earlier.
There might be Jackie. I don't think she's here.
Wow.
We hit Christmas vibes at the office. Where we'll just see everyone when we see them.
People might still be recovering from the Christmas party.
Yeah.
Dave and Buster's was lit.
Yeah, it was lit. Well, Friday was lit, too.
Yeah, Friday was lit. Friday was like company party part two.
It was.
We had a lot of people pull up. I was genuinely so freaking excited to see Paul Marshall.
Yeah.
I saw Paul out there in his leather jacket. I'm like, hey.
Yeah, Paul pulled up on us, man.
My man stepped out to hang out with us, and he was there. He was there well into the evening. Yeah.
Paul was ready to go with the takes too. Like, Paul was ready. Like, if these guys call me to the stage, I'm gonna get these takes off.
No, Paul was ready.
He's ready to go. And Paul and both Aarons, they dipped off a couple times.
Like, yeah, they went to gamble. Yeah, they went out to the tables.
Because I saw Paul. He's like, yo, have you seen the Aarons? I said, no. And then we went to the humidor. Like, they might be in here.
Mm-hmm.
No, they weren't in here. Didn't. Just dipped off.
I ran to the restroom, came back and saw Karosh and Aaron Roberts and a couple of other people sitting in the humidor. So I ran in there. I hadn't seen Karosh yet, gave him a little love. And I was like, I'm not staying in here because I got this jacket on. I'm not staying in here. I'll see you guys over there. And I go to leave. And Aaron goes, wait. And proceeds to talk to me about something with his cigar in hand. And I'm listening, and I'm like, listen, okay, all right. And, you know, you start to do that thing where you try to creep towards the exit. Like, I don't want to be in here because I know the amount of work that goes into cleaning clothes after being in this humidor.
Yeah.
You have to prepare for that. I'm not prepared for that with this jacket. I need to get out of here. And he finally let me. He was telling me about his Louis Vuitton wallet he got.
Oh, man, it was fly, too.
It was nice.
Fly. Yeah. Got engraved and everything. Shout out to him, man.
We got a good group of people here, man.
We do.
Paul put our traffic director came through. Complex, I didn't even know this. Did Complex tell you how many problems there were getting the KSFM show on the air?
No.
When we said he pulled the Grant Napier and he picked up the phone. No, he was on the phone with Seth.
Oh, man.
Because the line that connects us to the studio wasn't working.
Mm.
And it took a solid hour before we could get the KSFM show connected. He said it was so close they had loaded mixes in case the live show didn't happen. It was that close. I had no idea I had no idea until Saturday, like, evening when I had a conversation with Complex that show almost didn't happen in that way.
I talked to Complex through text. He's like, how do you think it went? It went great. Well, yeah, easy for me to say. Yeah. And it ended up going great, but I didn't know the backstory to it almost not happening.
Yeah, it was one of those things where everyone who was there had a fantastic time, and no one knows all of the little things that go into it. No one knows the little bickering that happens or the connection issues that happen. So everyone was there, had a blast. We had two Chatty House teams.
Yeah.
I gave them on the one trivia
answer.
Squad.
You know, the office question, I gave them the answer.
You did? Yeah. That was actually kind of crazy. How did you cheat that? How did you know that?
I've watched the
No,
show.
You didn't. I want to know, how did you know that? Hey, you weren't there. So they asked, yeah, one of the trivia questions was, which office character ends up as a fugitive in the last season? And he knew the answer.
Because we just talked about it. We talked about it a week ago. Remember? We were talking about Creed or whatever.
I remember I said Aaron is Creed.
Yeah, and I think someone or we brought up how, like, oh, imagine Aaron getting arrested in the last blah, blah, blah.
Is that how you remember that?
I don't remember that
Maybe
at all.
Subconsciously, I maybe he remembered know. That or something.
Yeah, I just know because I watched the show. Actually, it was a process elimination.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't remember what it was. Multiple choice. I don't remember which ones were up there.
I had an idea of all the people that were up there. I don't remember them either. But at the time,
you said it with great confidence. That was a good sell.
It's probably that Creed character.
You said it with great. You said it's Creed. It's Creed. It's Creed. I thought that was well done. It was well done.
Yeah, man. Good times though. Good times. Can't wait for the next one.
Yeah, I don't know when that's going to be, but I love our crew so much. I love the Chatty House so much because the Chatty House knows everything. So when Gavin goes, oh, Dino, why don't you ask some questions? The entire Chatty House goes, oh, this guy. Oh, I love you guys so much. We'll come back. We'll shift our attention back to the Sacramento Kings.
Oh, can I tell you what I'm angry about, too, when we come back?
Sure.
Pissed off.
I'll tell you what I'm angry about. No, I won't. I'll keep that in house. It's Dealing with Casey on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. James Hamm set to join us here at the top of the hour. Lots to talk about as it pertains to the Sacramento Kings. And I'll just ask you this. How do we feel? They did what we asked. They didn't do it in a fashion I think we thought was possible. But they did it. They won 3 of 4. After losing to Memphis, we asked, even before losing to Memphis, we asked that you go out there, beat San Antonio, beat Utah, get those wins, and they did it in resounding fashion. They scored, you know, season highs in 140, and then I think it was 141. They won the games, I think, by a collective, was it 81 points? I had it somewhere here in the notes, but they won the two games by like 81 points.
Yeah.
We saw a good performance from Kevin Huerter. We saw a great performance from Kevin Huerter. We saw a good scoring night, a really good scoring night from Keegan Murray. We saw a really good defensive night from Keegan Murray. We saw the rest of the guys do what they do, doubles-doubles from Domantas Sabonis. We saw Malik continue to excel. I think the number from Deuce was 127 points per game with Malik Monk in the starting lineup. Still one game below 500.
Yeah.
Got New Orleans coming up. Got Denver after that. How are we feeling?
I feel good about the Kings, man. I feel better. I feel better than I did a week ago. They've answered the bell a little bit this past week. And, you know, one of the things that I'm really liking, and we kind of got distracted with maybe because, you know, some frustrating losses, you brought it up, is the way they're playing with Malik Monk in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
I mean, the offense looks dynamic in every instance except for maybe the Memphis game. Even in that first San Antonio game, they were 42 points in that first quarter. Like, they were cooking. Offense wasn't the issue in that game. They lost 127-125. They scored points and handled business against Houston. They scored points against San Antonio the second time. Obviously they scored points against the Jazz as well. That offense is starting to hum with a guy like Malik Monk in the starting lineup. And then you combine that with, you know, just any kind of production coming off the bench. They're looking like they have the potential to be that top five type of offense that I, for one, thought they would have at the beginning of the season, that are kind of not on that pace. But they could be doing a few things differently now, one being Malik Monk being in the starting lineup, so they can get to that point. I feel good. The only thing I don't feel good about is the fact that they don't play for a couple days.
Yeah.
That's the frustrating thing. That's the one thing I am a little worried about.
Keep playing. Yeah. Of course, they get hot in the I guess this is their second stretch of schedule where they have a few days off. Mm-hmm. Thank God we haven't heard yet. Oh, God, we needed the rest. Because it felt like the last time that happened, everything kind of went to hell for a minute. Mm-hmm.
I feel like they've taken a step, but they just dug a hole so big where you're still stuck in that hole.
Yeah, I think
I don't know if I can trust it yet.
Understandable.
I like what you said, because I said how you feel. You go, I feel good. And you go, I feel better. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the perfect way to kind of describe it. Yeah. I feel better about where the Kings are. They did what we asked them to do. Great. They're capable of winning games. And again, no one, I don't think, expected them to win the games, plural, the way that they did. Mm-hmm. But they did. So it was it was like a sign of life. It was like, hey, there they are.
And you know, one of the other things that happened over the weekend that we haven't really addressed that is also a good sign is they beat the hell out of two teams that they were supposed to.
Right.
Now, on Friday, they're out there with no Wimby, and then Zach Collins gets ejected. You're out there playing and no Devin Vassell either. You're out there playing the Austin Spurs. Mm-hmm. Like, beat them the
Proud
way
team.
You should.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they did. The Jazz, no Jordan Clarkson last night, but just not a very good team in general.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you even have to beat them by 40 points, but beat them the way you should, mm-hmm. and they did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good sign.
Back-to-back
as well.
Games like
that. Yeah, that's a good sign as well. And we would hope, maybe, I don't know, we'd hope to see that on Thursday. You know what I mean? You're playing a team. I know we have.
Well, that's a tough ball club right there.
It is.
They're fearless, well coached.
Well coached. You know what I mean? You know, emotions on their sleeves.
You couldn't help yourself.
Were their emotions on their sleeves?
Remember that one time Willie Green cried?
Wow.
During halftime of the All-Star
game? That's not what happened. Oh, wow. Really?
He wasn't even...
he was so distraught because they weren't taking the game serious. He started crying on the floor.
Just upset. And Pascal Siakam said, what's wrong with you?
Zion, what's wrong with your coach?
Oh, right, like Zion would be there.
Oh, he'd be there. He ain't in the regular season games.
No, that's true.
He played in All-Star games.
Yeah.
Handle business for sure. Handle business. You know, before James comes through, James may even add to this. But I was very frustrated over the weekend because there was a story out there, a tweet out there that an anonymous GM said about DeMar DeRozan that he's looked at as not a winning player or something to that extent, and that's the reason why he's bounced around so much, that, you know, he's talented, but people don't look at him as a winning player. And
if memory serves me correctly, he's been traded one time and has signed with other teams every other time. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was traded to San Antonio and then signed as a free agent with Chicago and the Kings, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And those.
But don't let the truth get in the way of your little story.
Never. Never that. And it's here was the exact quote. An anonymous NBA exec says DeMar DeRozan's game doesn't translate to winning basketball. Quote, DeRozan is a highly skilled player who was great to have in the locker room and a guy who you want to get the ball at the end of the game, but his play hasn't driven winning. And it's something that unfortunately has been the case throughout his career, and it's part of the reason why he's changed teams so much. All right. So, number one, DeRozan aside, I hate the place that we're in basketball and in sports, where if you don't win a title or even play in the final, you're considered not a winning player.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so ridiculous, so short-sighted, so it's like just an armchair quarterback type take. Like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Just because the guy doesn't win a championship means he's not a winning player. He's played in a lot of playoff games. He's played on a lot of
A lot of them were against LeBron James, too.
A lot of them against LeBron James. With a team that, like, wasn't even that good. Like, they were a good team. But it wasn't like, no, this is a championship team. This is championship or bust here in Toronto. No, they weren't that. They won when Kawhi got there, and Kawhi's a better player at that time than DeMar DeRozan.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an upgrade, but that doesn't mean
DeMar DeRozan was bad. One small footnote, LeBron was gone. LeBron was out of the East.
Absolutely. And then, you know, if you want to make the argument as well, Kevin Durant blows out his Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what that's looking like if he's 100% healthy. So You know, I just, you know, I hate that for DeMar, first of all, but on a bigger picture, I just hate that when people talk about players in general who, if they don't have a ring or, you know, they haven't gotten to a championship, that they're not a winning player. Mm-hmm. There are guys who you look at and you say they're not a winning player. Like, for instance, I would say James Harden, if you want to make the argument that he's not a winning player,
mm-hmm.
I could listen to that. I don't mm-hmm. know if I'd agree, but I could listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
DeMar DeRozan and the way he approaches the game and the way he approaches the teammate he is on the floor. This guy's talking about locker room, but on the floor,
mm-hmm.
he's not that. He's not this selfish guy who pouts and does all. That's what I look at when I say winning player mm-hmm. or not a winning player. Not if, you know, he gets the ball in the mid post and shoots. Like, that doesn't make him a non-winning player. That just frustrated me over the weekend.
The narrative around DeMar is really strange. Like, he's universally respected. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that type of stuff that you're talking about right there, like anonymous general managers or anonymous, what was it, anonymous front office person?
Yeah, NBA executive. That's even more vague.
I'm not going to give the speech again because we all know.
Mm-hmm.
NBA executive can mean a lot of things. But these writers like love it. The nerdy writers,
mm-hmm.
like
mm-hmm.
they love.
That's exactly what I thought about, too.
They love to write these articles about DeMar DeRozan. Again, a player that is universally respected
mm-hmm.
In the league. But I'll say this. I won't absolve DeMar of criticism. And if the criticisms fall in line with the way people feel about him, that's just a different story.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an encompassment of what the season has looked like. I don't like the way they executed against Memphis. DeMar was a part of that. So was De'Aaron Fox.
Mm-hmm.
So was DeMontis Sabonis. So was Mike Brown. There were a lot of guys, in my opinion, and I know we don't necessarily see that stretch as the same, but there's a lot of people, in my opinion, who are responsible for the way that final 4 minutes went against Memphis. DeMar is one of them. It's because he's one of the team's leaders. He's one of the team's, like, dogs. Isolating a moment and in blanketing the entire season as that is a bit ridiculous. DeMar has been extremely important to what the Sacramento Kings are doing this year.
Yeah, and even in that situation, I know we're focused on the Kings, but when you talk about the man's career, like, they didn't win in Toronto because of DeMar DeRozan. No, they didn't win in San Antonio because of DeMar DeRozan or Chicago. Who, to be honest with you, he gave them one of the better seasons they've had in the last decade.
Yeah, that team,
you know, because of what
grossly overachieved.
Yeah. So, teams. Yeah, it's frustrating. There are guys who get that kind of rap that, I don't know. Like, I understand it. I don't necessarily agree. I think it might be a little too much sometimes. Like, for instance, I think Trae Young got that rap, and Trae Young. Is a
he
guy who
definitely
has
that rap. Yeah,
he has limitations just because of the player he is. He's not, you know, very tall. He's not, you know, a great defender or whatever. Shoots threes as opposed, you know what I mean. So there are parts of his game that are difficult to work around sometimes. But I think we spend too much time. As media and people, or some people spend too much time as media and people who follow the game looking at what players can't do as opposed to the special things they do or are able to achieve on the court.
Think warm, think palm trees, think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.